From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Friday, May 22nd, 2026. On today's show, many preschoolers are more anxious and missing more school because of the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. That's according to a new survey from Washington's Free Preschool Program. And Avista Utilities has made its yearly switch to fire safety mode, but the move comes much earlier in the summer than any time in the last 5 years. Plus, are you interested in watching next month's World Cup games, but aren't quite sure what to look for in the matches? We'll chat with the author of the new book, How to Watch Soccer Like a Genius. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Head Start providers in Washington and six other states say the Trump administration's aggressive immigration enforcement is affecting preschoolers. In a new survey, educators say they're seeing more pre-K students miss class or show signs of anxiety. KNKX reporter Mitch Borden has more.
The Washington State Association of Head Start and ECAP surveyed 277 Head Start providers and parents. The group was interested in how immigration and customs enforcement's aggressive and sometimes violent tactics were affecting students. Joel Ryan, the association's executive director, says nearly half of those surveyed said students are showing signs of anxiety, stress, and trauma.
Our kids are afraid to go out to the playground because they think that's something they're going to get grabbed. They're afraid that they might not see their parents again.
Head Start is a federal program that provides preschool to low-income families. The survey's findings suggest ICE enforcement is affecting children from both immigrant and non-immigrant families. I'm Mitch Borden, reporting.
Avista Utilities has taken a step to prepare for wildfire season much sooner than any of the last 5 years. The utility yesterday moved to what it calls fire safety mode. It's an annual change that gives Avista the ability to quickly shut off parts of its electrical grid when fire danger is high. Last year, the utility made the switch in the first week of June, and from 2020 to 2024, Avista switched to fire safety or dry land mode, as it was previously known, in late June or July. The move comes as Washington experiences a fourth consecutive year of drought conditions and historically low snowpack levels. Liz Fredrickson is the utility's Wildfire Resiliency and Systems Operation Director.
Because fire safety mode makes the system more sensitive, customers might see additional outages or service interruptions, but it's not something that we necessarily expect.
In fire safety mode, Avista crews will often take extra time to check for and remove vegetation around transmission facilities before turning power lines back on. That means outages may last longer than usual. Spokane Transit is making it easier for soccer fans to get around the city this summer, SPR's Eliza Billingham reports.
Starting in June, Saturday rides will be every 10 minutes on the City Line and every 30 minutes on Route 7 and 63 to and from the airport. The Spokane Transit Authority says that's to support extra activity thanks to Team Egypt and other World Cup festivities, but anyone, regardless of soccer enthusiasm, can enjoy the added service. To help with Spokane's fan zones, on June 19th and July 19th, Route 11 will have a shuttle service to Riverfront Park with an additional stop in front of the Spokane Arena. This is all funded by state grant money, which will also pay for added security and transit ambassadors. All SDA operators will also get specially branded soccer jerseys for an extra bit of fun. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
Students sing in Insukcheem, kicking off yesterday's groundbreaking of a new campus for the Salish School of Spokane. Right now, the nonprofit language immersion school teaches Colville Okanagan Salish out of a site on Spokane's Maple Street. But a land donation by Catholic Charities of Eastern Washington and a multi-million dollar fundraising effort mean the school will eventually move to a site near Spokane Falls Community College along the Spokane River. Megan Francis is the education chair of the Colville Tribal Business Council. She says a number of Colville tribal members and descendants attend the Salish school.
And not only are they learning the language, but they're learning to see the world in the way our ancestors did. And that's really, really important for our future, so we can take care of the earth and we can take care of each other and love each other the way our ancestors did.
Plans for the campus include an expanded education building and a community center, as well as outdoor facilities for traditional activities like hide tanning and tule weaving. The education building will be named for Semtitsa, the Salish woman who mentored and taught school co-founder Larae Wiley and the school's principal, Chris Parkin. Parkin says the two went on to develop a fluency transfer system that's now used for language revitalization across the U.S. and beyond.
More than 50 indigenous language communities in Australia are using this work and this system and this vision that Samtitza helped us make come true.
The school still needs to raise about $2 million more to hit its $17 million goal to fund the project completely. With the World Cup coming to the U.S. this summer, more American fans might be paying attention to that kind of football. There's just one problem. Plenty of Americans just aren't that into soccer. SPR News Today has been airing a special weekend guide on how to watch soccer for new and old fans alike, but one person wrote a whole book on the topic. Bay Area journalist Nick Green just released How to Watch Soccer Like a Genius. In it, Green talks to people from NASA scientists to landscape architects for their unique insight on one of the world's most popular sports. He chatted with SPR's Eliza Billingham the day the book was released.
Well, pretty early on in your book, you say that soccer is one of the only things that the U.S. feels completely comfortable having nothing to do with. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's one of the few things that we concede is a huge, massive global deal that we basically have no role or part in its growth or acceptance or what have you. And that's an exaggeration, but it really does seem like this, you get the sense it's a kind of foreign phenomenon, this miracle occurring just over the horizon that is just outside our reach. But it's not. I mean, soccer is a very American sport, too. American football evolved from the very same games that soccer evolved from. It just happened to do so in a different timeline and a different path. So there's a lot of the things we love from sports in soccer.
A lot of people also compare soccer to chess, but you compare it to dominoes. What is that all about?
Yeah, well, I compare a couple aspects of it to dominoes. One is just the passing sequences themselves. Basically, a pass is a move that's made in good faith. You trust that your opponent, your teammate, excuse me, is going to do better with the ball than you. It's a movement of trust. And every single pass creates a chain. And the hope, of course, is that, well, that chain eventually ends up with a goal. As anyone who doesn't watch soccer or watch soccer can tell you, is that that's not always the case. But nonetheless, there are these intricate patterns and chains being built. And so to learn more about that, I talked to a man who invented the art of domino toppling. Something like soccer, I assumed, was an ancient art, but is actually can be traced to more recent times. It's a man in Pennsylvania named Robert Speca, and he went on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson as a teenager and had a magnificent pattern of dominoes. And I kind of talked to him to learn about patterns, tempo, because he messes with the tempo in his domino art, and why certain things spread and where breakdowns occur. And so that can happen on the pitch in passing or with the spread of the popularity of the game itself, why it took off in some countries and not in others. If you think about why the places where soccer is not huge, places like the United States, India, Australia, you'll notice a common theme there that these were all former British colonies. And there is some truth to the idea that as former colonies, these countries wanted to pursue their own sort of versions, their own sports, to sort of set themselves apart. So that's just one of the many reasons why there are spaces and breaks in the chain, in different parts of the chain, but it's something that happens, as I said, on the pitch and off it.
At the risk of pandering, Nick, I really loved your book. Thank you so much
for writing it. Thank you for everything.
That was SPR's Eliza Billingham with author Nick Green talking about his new book, How to Watch Soccer Like a Genius. You can hear their full interview tomorrow morning on a special weekend episode of SPR News Today. Find that and other Soccer Saturday episodes on our website, SpokanePublicRadio.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Mitch Borden, Doug Nadvornik, Eliza Billingham, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also your host and producer. Eliza Billingham provides digital support. Thanks for listening and have a good weekend. We'll be back in your feeds on Tuesday. It's SPR.